Regular visitors to our website, stlpublicradio.org, have been reading about an oil pipeline under construction from northern Illinois to Oklahoma, which cuts a wide swath through Missouri. No, it is not the much-discussed and stymied Keystone Pipeline from Canada through the U.S. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Field Hanlon, who interns with science reporter Veronique LaCapra, has looked into all of this, and she joins me in studio. Sarah, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Don.
This whole notion of a pipeline coming through Missouri has caught a lot of people by surprise. Do you find that that's the case?
Yeah, for the most part, I found that only people with property where the line actually goes through happen to really know about the line. It seems like it's kind of flying under the radar.
I wonder why. Do you have any sense why? I mean, the Keystone Pipeline has just gotten a tremendous amount of publicity.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple reasons why. One in particular is the permitting process that goes with the pipelines. The Keystone in particular crosses the U.S.-Canada border. So you have to deal with presidential permission, State Department, public notification, and environmental impact assessment. But the Flanagan South Pipeline, it's only a section of a wider pipeline system that Enbridge is building, and it's stays within the state, so they only require permits that go through the Army Corps of Engineers.
Even though the oil, which is the same kind of the tar sand oil, the very heavy, heavy crude stuff, is coming from Canada.
Absolutely. It's exactly the same oil, and with full capacity of the pipeline, and it's the Flanagan South's paralleling pipeline will have about the exact same capacity as the Keystone XL.
So there is a parallel pipeline. I mean, there is an existing pipeline going through Missouri, if I understand it correctly. Is that right?
Yeah, it's called the Spearhead Pipeline. It was built in 1952, but Enbridge didn't buy it or purchase it until 2005. And it does go through Missouri.
Missouri and parts of Kansas and then on to Oklahoma. Well, what are the concerns? I mean, obviously with Keystone, there is a concern that aquifers could be polluted and streams and what have you. Aren't there similar concerns for this crude coming through Missouri?
Absolutely. I think that the concerns are mostly the same. You have concerns on a wide range of issues. One is climate change, which has to do with where the oil comes from and how it's extracted, as well as many concerns about basically concerns about spills that may or may not happen along the route of the pipeline. And this pipeline in particular does cross thousands of different streams, including major water sources from Missourians and Illinoisans, including the Mississippi River, Missouri River, and various other waterways.
Well, you've talked to people living along part of this route. What are their concerns? What are they saying?
Most of the people I spoke to along the route of the pipeline weren't exactly aware of it, but the ones that were mostly concerned about spilling and that sort of stuff, but there really hadn't been a lot of concerns at all. A lot of people seemed to be either unaware of it or just kind of a trust that they put in the fact that the pipeline will be built and operated properly throughout the lifetime of the pipeline.
The Environmental Protection Agency have a role in any of this?
Not really as far as permitting. Right now it's it all rests on the Army Corps of Engineers because it's being treated as a typical utility pipeline project. So the EPA isn't really involved in this as far as I know. There are various environmental groups that are concerned about it, but they're not they filed lawsuits, but they're not involved in the permitting process at all.
But there have been accidents in the past with some of the oil that we're talking about coming down from Canada.
Absolutely. So one in particular is the Kalamazoo pipeline spill that some of our listeners may have heard of. It occurred back in 2010 by the same owner-operator, Enbridge. The pipeline had been built in the 1960s and used a coating that is no longer in use today but is a faulty coating and can be prone to leaks, which still exists in a lot of the pipelines that are in operation today. Spills in particular are especially hard to clean up, especially with this particular crude.
Would you be concerned as someone who's looked into this quite quite extensively. Would you be concerned living anywhere near or around this particular project?
I think there's always a need for concern and caution. I think we should definitely take a precautionary principle as far as when we construct these lines and where they go. So I do think there's a reason to be concerned.
On the other hand, there is the potential for a lot of jobs, and jobs are important these days because these things take manpower and womanpower to construct.
Sure, yeah. Most of the jobs that will be created along the route of the pipeline are temporary. They're looking at about 1,100 temporary jobs throughout the entire length of the pipeline, with only maybe a dozen, two dozen permanent jobs that will be created in the long run.
You mentioned that there are a couple of thousand streams and creeks and rivers, including the Mississippi River, by the way, correct, that would be traversed by this pipeline. What about aquifers? That's a big issue with Keystone. Are there any major aquifers that it would be involved?
There is a major aquifer. It's down in the southern portion of the line. I can't remember the name of it right now, but there is an aquifer that it would cross. It's also one of the same aquifers that the Keystone would cross down in the Oklahoma area.
When is the project scheduled for completion?
Next summer.
Next summer. So it's well underway, and it's 600 miles or so long.
Right. It is well underway, and they have received 3 out of 4 of the permits that they need. Right now, the Army Corps' last branch that has not approved the project is undergoing the shutdown right now, so they can't approve that last permit.
Any lawsuits to try to stop it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's Sierra Club and as well as the Missouri Coalition for the Environment have filed lawsuits against the Army Corps just to release documents related to safety of the pipeline, route of the pipeline, spill response plans, that sort of thing. But they haven't gotten any of that information back from the Army Corps yet.
All right. So the story is still being played out as the construction continues.
Yes.
Sarah Feld-Hanlon, thank you so much for being with us and bringing us up to speed on this. More information on our website at stlpublicradio.org. You can read her entire story and also hear her entire story on our website. Thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at the issues of bullying and cyberbullying. Then we'll talk with Erin Williams about her observations as she completes her year at St. Louis Public Radio's Diversity Fellow. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.